Our catechism portion this evening is found in the Heidelberg Catechism in the back of the blue hymnals on page 62. Page 62, and brings us to question 125. We're asked, what does the fourth request mean? Give us this day our daily bread means, do take care of all our physical needs so that we come to know that you are the only source of everything good, and that neither our work and worry nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. And so help us to give up our trust in creatures and to put trust in you alone. And in connection with that, I'd like to read from the Gospel of John chapter 6, and reading verses 41 to 59. Gospel of John chapter 6, reading verses 41 to 59. So it's part of a much larger section, of course, of Jesus' dialogue with the Jewish leaders. And in verse 41 it says, the Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna, and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. So part reading of God's word. Dear people of God, our petition this evening moves us from considering glorifying God in terms of his being, in terms of his purposes, to glorifying him in regards to his fatherly care for us as believers, but indeed for the world, but particularly for his children. And even in our prayer request for daily needs, we reflect the loving kindness of our God. Daily bread denotes basic necessities, both physical and spiritual. God has blessed us in the light of all of our needs. That's the way the Apostle Peter puts it. We've been blessed for everything. Whether it's to do with our spiritual life or whether it's to do with our physical life. In all things, he has blessed us and provided for us. And we must ensure that both physical and spiritual needs are brought before God, and that we are aware of the fact that God commits himself to taking care of us in those domains. We're not to think that God gives us salvation, spiritual needs, but the rest is up to us. We have to keep that up by ourselves. No. No. I mean, if it was that way, then God would have created the Garden of Eden and just given them a relationship with himself and let them take care of everything. But no, everything was taken care of. God provided for all of their needs. And that's the way it is with us. It doesn't even make sense, would it, any other way? Because if we look at our own example as parents, we do care for our children in every possible way. And so if we take care of our children that way, how in the world can we think that our Heavenly Father would not, that he would fall short and delegate some of the responsibility to us? No. No. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that we don't do anything, in both realms, by the way, that we don't do anything. It's just one day we're asleep, the next day we wake up and we're Christians. Doesn't happen that way, does it? But neither does it happen that way with respect to food. We don't just wait at our door and automatically God sends packages for us to eat. There's avenues that God has provided. There are avenues of grace. There are avenues of food. We're to work. But all the work in the world would not be able to feed us if God had not created the world to accommodate that. I mean, it's no accident that when we plant things, it multiplies, and that food helps us and gives us all the nutrients that we need. That didn't happen by accident, and that certainly didn't happen by evolution. It happened because our loving Father is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And when he created the heavens and the earth, he created it with us in mind. With us in mind. And that's why the world is so wonderfully suited for us. Every place in the universe isn't suited for you and me, is it? Absolutely not. But this earth, where God created us and put us, is unlike any other place in the universe. And the scientists can say all that they want and speculate all that they want. But there's only one place in this universe for us. And that's where God places us. So that we would have all that we need. And the Lord Jesus Christ in this passage really uses the analogy of the physical to the spiritual with respect to food, our earthly life. And he seeks to impress upon them the importance and the validity of both, that they could accept it on the physical side, but they were absolutely blind with respect to the spiritual. They couldn't see the connection between the spiritual and the physical. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as God does, not only has he revealed, we speak about God revealing himself in two ways, the general revelation and special revelation. But we don't always see those connections. But it's amazing how many spiritual truths, if we thought about it for a while, we can see the correspondence in the physical world, even in our relationships. And so it's well for us to consider the creation. It's well for us to consider our earthly lives and the relationships that we have, because there is a correspondence between them and how we relate to God. And so the scriptures use that. And in a few weeks or so in Corinthians, as we get to Corinthians and begin to look at spiritual gifts, one of the analogies that is prominent there is that we are the body of Christ. So we have all these diverse gifts, but we are all to function as one organic whole, like the body does. And it's such a simple and yet such a powerful example to the churches, as Corinth had difficulties in that area and fought against one another. And God's word says, well, how would it look if your own body was fighting against itself? I mean, you'd laugh at that, but that's exactly what you do, because you don't understand. You don't take note of the things around you. So the Lord Jesus Christ takes that up in speaking about himself to the Jews that were blind to these things. They couldn't see it. And so the Lord Jesus Christ uses this analogy of bread that we eat, and he sees that, he teaches them the correspondence between that and our spiritual needs and the spiritual bread that God has sent from heaven. So first of all then, bread of heaven. It comes from God. The manna came from God. It came from the sky. I mean, usually bread doesn't fall out of the sky. Nothing much does, right? Except rain, which of course we need. But food doesn't drop that way. It comes out of the ground as we grow stuff. But in order to make this connection between the two and to help us understand that God is the origin of all of these blessings, when God gave the manna, it came out of the sky. As a reminder to them that all food comes to us from God's hands. And here in this example, as they all saw, God is the one that provided that for them. Now everything around us comes from God. Our very life comes from God. As Jesus spoke with the Jews, he had to remind them that their spiritual needs did come from God. The Jews were so proud of their past history, and they were confident in that. Rather than continuing to look to God, they became self-confident in and of themselves. And Jesus reminds them repeatedly that they were in need of the bread of heaven, which comes down from God. And they fixated on Moses. They kept going back to Moses. But Jesus reminds them that all such provisions were pointing to him, the Lord Jesus Christ. They were to look to God. And over again in this passage, there is that connection. Perhaps we've become so self-confident in our technology. We do not depend on God. But we think we provide for our own needs, that the world can take care of itself. And we're such experts in growing things that we have so many stores that we can go to, and it's always there, and therefore we can always get these things, and we don't really see the hand of God in the groceries that we buy and bring into our home. And we say grace. But does that really fix our minds? Does that really impress upon us the utter dependence that we have upon God? Because if we don't, then we begin being confident like the Jews were. Oh, in Moses. Oh, in the technologies that we have and agricultural skills that we have. And we may not say it, but we really trust in them. Word of God impresses that upon us. And God impressed that upon the Jews. He said, look, when you're disobedient in Deuteronomy 28 and 29, the curses and the blessings, that was one of the ways in which God reminded his people that when there's a disruption between you and me, when you blatantly sin against me, then one of the ways that I'm going to point that out to you is I'm going to make the sky like bronze. In other words, it's not the ground isn't going to produce the way that you think. You're going to get drought. You're going to get famine. And even though those things can come naturally in this world, I mean, I don't even know what that means, naturally, because everything is under God's control. But that God is going to impress that upon them by not giving them those things, so that they might be brought back to their senses and see that they have their utter dependency is upon God. And for them to forget God and just live their lives in the way that they want to and just have self-confidence in themselves, it was in this correspondence between the physical bread and the heavenly bread that God emphasized that to them. No, we are dependent upon God, both in the physical and the spiritual realm. And Jesus' conversation reminds us all that we are ever dependent on heaven. God in heaven is still our only hope. Even though we may not admit it, we only live due to God's benevolence. It is God. And not only us, by the way, all of us, all people, believers and unbelievers. God sends his rain and sunshine on the just and the unjust. They are dependent upon him just as much as we are. God, then, we should show thankfulness to God. We ought to be reminded every day, because that's what keeps us humble. That's what keeps us dependent upon him. Otherwise, the temptation is for the devil to lure us away and say, oh, you can do it on your own. You don't need to do those things. And slowly he picks away at that. What an insult that is to God. But also this bread, this physical bread, points forward to something else. The manna in the wilderness pointed forward to something greater. And the analogy should not be lost. It's not that complicated. Our physical lives are dependent on God's provisions for our earthly needs, which points to the fact that we are absolutely dependent upon God for our spiritual needs. We need spiritual bread from him. We can't manufacture that ourselves. With all the science that we have, I can guarantee you, if God took away the access that we have to the earth and it multiplying and providing us food, we couldn't feed ourselves. We couldn't manufacture food. No, we're absolutely dependent upon God. And that's the way it is with our relationship to him spiritually. We can't manufacture spiritual nourishment. Man has tried. I mean, man has come up with religions after religion after religion. And they give themselves to it with all of their heart and mind. But it never satisfies. That's what Isaiah says, Isaiah 55. Why do you go around seeking these things from this earth? You know they don't satisfy. Even the ones that practice them know that they don't satisfy. Yet they pursue them nevertheless. As Augustine said, the heart never finds rest. Never finds rest until it finds its rest in God. That's the only rest that we have. And so God reminds us that just as heaven, just as bread and everything that we have in terms of our physical needs, God has embedded in this creation for us to access, so it is with respect to our spiritual nourishment, God has provided it for us. And that spiritual bread came down from heaven. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ, as he said to the Jews, I am that bread. I'm the one that has come down from heaven. I'm the one that you need. I'm the one that you need to listen to. I'm the one that you need to embrace. You have to eat my flesh. You have to drink my blood. I mean, he's not talking about cannibalism, as you understand. He's not saying that. I mean, that should have been obvious. But they are so against him and so out of joint, as it were, they pick on any little thing. And so they said, what kind of a teacher is that? I mean, he's telling us to eat his flesh. I mean, what kind of nonsense is that? He wasn't saying that. He's saying just as you need the physical food that God has provided, and you have to eat it, and you have to appropriate it to yourselves, and use the energy that God has implanted in those things so that we might sustain ourselves, in the same way, you have to appropriate the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can only do it by faith. And so the Lord Jesus Christ then has been given by God. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ, over and over and over in this passage, continues to hammer home to them. I am the bread of heaven. And that bread that you keep looking back to, physical bread as it were, and you are treating it as some sort of superstition, some sort of spiritual thing, that's all you need, and once you had it, now you have it, and everything's fine. He said, look at the people that ate it. They're dead. They're dead. Moses is dead. No. He was pointing to something far greater. I am the bread of heaven. And when you eat from me, you will never die. Never die. This is what God has provided for us at such a cost. He said, no one comes unto the Father unless he draws him. That God has to do everything. Not only does he provide these things, but he has to bring us to those things. And he has to break down those walls of resistance that we've put up so that we might truly receive God's intended nourishment for our hearts and for our lives. Now they had to open their eyes. They needed to understand these spiritual truths and understand that they are tied to the Lord Jesus Christ. People of God, if we see our life, spiritually or physically, not dependent on Christ, there's something drastically wrong. Something drastically wrong. Or you may continue living, it's not that you're going to fall down dead. You're going to continue to live. But notice what Jesus said. They are dead. Eventually, it's going to run out. Eventually, those things that you rely on are not going to be able to sustain you. The only thing that's going to sustain you is this. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's that bread of heaven. It's that bread that reflects for us the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it is. It is the gospel itself. That's the ministry that the Lord Jesus Christ came to fulfill. His death on the cross for your sins. And when we appropriate the gospel to ourselves, when it's appropriating Christ to ourselves. And remember, all the analogies about the Lord Jesus Christ is this, that we are grafted into him. We are in Christ. We are the branches. He is the vine. In other words, the nourishment that we need flows from him, from his sacrifice. And unless we have that connection, unless we see our desperate need of Him, we're going to miss out. Miss out on what God has provided for us. The Lord Jesus Christ clearly reflects His cross and His upcoming death when He speaks about eating His flesh and drinking His blood. That each and every one of us needs to participate in that. That we need to see our utter dependence upon Him. And if we go through life without thinking about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, without thinking about His shed blood, in connection with our sins, then really we haven't really understood it yet. We might say, how is it that you always remember to eat every day? Which we do, right? Every day. We don't make a note to ourselves. We don't say, you have to eat today. You have to drink today. No, we don't. We do it automatically. It's in that way that we have to relate to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's that way that we need to be reminded every day. It's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's through His sacrifice that I have a relationship with God and I'm blessed by God. And I walk in this way because He has given me His Spirit. He's given me a new nature. The people of God, it's so easy to forget. It's so easy to walk without fixing our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, without seeing Him as the author and the perfecter of our faith, without seeing Him as our sacrifice, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now, none of us can forget that. Always has to be central in our hearts and in our minds. The disciples even had a problem with that. And in this passage later on, the Lord Jesus Christ says to them, you know, they were having struggles, and He says, are you going to leave me too? Are you going to walk away as well? Because some did. Some followers of Christ stopped at this point and left. And it's to the apostles that He says, are you going to also walk away? And they said, to whom shall we go? Only you have the words of life. They got it. They understood it. Not that they understood everything that was going on. They understood. They committed themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. They weren't leaving anywhere. They weren't going anywhere. Because they understood their utter dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that yes, He was that bread of heaven that had come down, that God had given so wonderfully to our needs. And all the things that we had in the Old Testament are useless without the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's in the Lord Jesus Christ that they're all fulfilled. Otherwise, it's just shadows. Otherwise, it's just pointers. Pointers never saved anyone. Shadows never saved anyone. We have to have the reality. And that's why Hebrews is written the way that it's written. It's exactly against that. If you don't come to Christ, you fall short. You fall short. And whatever your understanding about the Old Testament, you have not understood it unless you come to see the Lord Jesus Christ as a fulfillment, as a bread of heaven. And the Apostle Paul, of course, is a prime example of that. Oh, he loved the Old Testament. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. But he had absolutely nothing. And that's why he traded it away. For what? That he might know Him. And the power of His resurrection. No, people of God, we have to see the Lord Jesus Christ for who He is. He is that bread of heaven. And you need Him. Because without Him, you will die. But with Him, you will never hunger or thirst. And we will have eternal life. This bread that is from heaven is the bread of earth. It's what we need. there are some aspects that, as I said, act as spiritual truths for us that God has provided. And so we need to be able to continue to remind ourselves of these things, going from the physical to the spiritual. And as I said, there's many areas of our life that lend themselves to that. Not everything lends themselves, but certainly these do. And to keep alive that alertness to these truths, we need to look at food, we need to look at every time we eat, and we need to say grace. I'm not talking about that we need to say in a ritualistic way and we have to close our eyes and we have to... No, I'm saying the thoughts must be there, that this has come to me from God, just like God provides me with spiritual food and drink through the Lord Jesus Christ and through His Word. And so we need to keep that. It is God that gives you these things. Personally gives you these things. And we have to utilize, as I said, the avenues that God gives. Just as we utilize the ability to get food and eat it, we need to make effort to eat of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, that's what we need to ask ourselves. How did I eat the flesh of Christ today? How did I drink His blood? In other words, how did I take nourishment from what Christ has provided for us? How did I do that? Or did I do that? Did I read God's Word? Did I pray to Him? Did I worship Him? How did I keep and maintain that closeness with God? And can it be said that I walked with God today? In other words, when I live my life, am I living it with the full consciousness that I'm walking with God? I'm being His servant and I'm dependent upon Him. God isn't an employer that doesn't take care of His employees. He absolutely does. When you walk with Him and you serve Him, He will take care of all of your needs. And so we need to consciously ask ourselves these questions, get in the habit of doing that, so that these truths don't become in the back of our minds and after a while they're forgotten. They're forgotten. We're not consciously walking with God at all. And so God has given us all these helps all around us. As I said, every time we eat, if we remind ourselves of those things, it'll spur us on. It'll spur us on. Every time you eat, thank God, yes. But then ask, have I spiritually been fed today? Have I fed on the Lord Jesus Christ? How will I maintain that spiritual zeal? How will I maintain that spiritual strength to live for today and be a faithful witness of the Lord Jesus Christ? For food, we either do it at home or we go to fast food because we're busy or whatever. But we go. But there are places we go. There are avenues that we utilize. You need to be familiar with the avenues that God has provided for you to feed on Him. And however busy we are, we eat. We might eat on the run. We may eat in the car. Not a good idea, but you might. But we find a way to eat. I'm saying you have to find a way to eat spiritually. To give moments where we can think about God and all that He's done for us. And we can get our priorities right and our life right. In the right balance. Because that's what happens when we forget about Christ. We go rushing off this way and that way and chasing all kinds of goals. And they have nothing to do with God. Nothing to do with us being witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we meander this way and that way. And we're really building on things that are worth nothing. And they will burn when God tests them with fire. And so we need to remind ourselves, are we doing this right? I mean, that's what people do when they build, don't they? They have designs, and they have to make sure they're doing it according to the designs. Why? Because otherwise the city's going to make you take it down if you don't do it again according to their standards. Well, that's the way it is with God's Word, too. when we serve him and we do it by our own whim and the way that we want to, you may find out that it's not acceptable to God at all. But none of us want to do that. We want to walk in close to nearness with God and always have ears that are attentive to him and always have minds that are influenced by his word and by his purposes and his goals and his truth. People of God, you need a healthy spiritual diet. You need to give it thought. And the Lord Jesus Christ is our staple diet. His word is our staple diet. His purposes are our activity day by day. And so here the Lord Jesus Christ impresses upon them, I am the bread of heaven. I am the spiritual correspondence to all that God has provided for you physically. And just as you need that day by day, and it's so vital to your life, so am I. So am I. Come to me. Feed on me. And you will never hunger. And you'll never thirst. And you will always be equipped with the strength that you need to be faithful witnesses and to promote the wonderful purposes of God in this world. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do indeed echo the words of our Lord's Prayer, that you would provide for us our daily bread, something that we have to do every day, because we need it every day. Just as we eat every day, we need your word. We need your grace. We need your guidance. And so, Father, we pray that you would indeed lead us by your Spirit, that we would walk in step. We would not quench the Spirit. We would not silence the Spirit, but rather that we might be faithful followers, servants, obedient servants, so that we can be led into lives that are living sacrifices to our God and Savior. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would indeed bless us in this week. And we pray, our Father, that all that we do, in eating or drinking, we may do it to your honor and to your glory. And that we may walk in the strength and the wisdom that we have from your Son, the bread of heaven, and the wisdom of God. Our Father, hear our prayers and receive our thanks, for we bring them all in the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand and respond as we sing from the Blue Hymnals, number 217.